mercy. Praise him for his love. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. So lift up your heads and praise the Lord. Why don't you
lift up your heads and praise the Lord?
Just praise the Lord. Praise him for his mercy.
Let's sing page 192, amen. Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise is to our God.
Amen.
Page 192 in the key of G.
Every word of worship.
Every word of worship with one accord. My. Amen. Every praise is to our God.
Yes. Yes.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God.
Let's sing that again. Hallelujah.
Sing. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise is to our God.
Sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to our God.
Sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah to our God.
Glory.
Glory hallelujah is to our God.
Every praise is to our God.
Savior.
God my Savior, God my healer, God my deliverer.
Oh, yes,
yes he is.
God my Savior.
God my Savior. God my healer. God my deliverer. Oh, yes, yes, he is. Yes, yes, he is.
Every praise.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship.
Every word of worship with one accord.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise
is to our God.
Sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah to our God.
Glory hallelujah.
Glory hallelujah. Every praise,
every praise,
every praise
is to our God.
God, my Savior.
God, my Savior. God, my healer. God, my deliverer.
Oh, yes, he is.
God, my Savior.
God, my healer.
God, my healer.
God, my deliverer.
God, my deliverer.
Oh, yes, yes, he is. Yes, yes, he is.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship.
Every word of worship with one accord.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise
is to our God.
Every praise, hallelujah.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship.
Every word of worship
with one accord. Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise.
Every praise
is to our God.
So sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah to our
glory. Hallelujah.
Glory hallelujah.
Every praise,
every praise,
every praise,
every praise
is to our God.
God, my Savior. Thank you, Lord.
God, my Savior.
God, my healer.
God, my healer.
God, my deliverer. Savior.
God, my Savior. God, my healer. God, my deliverer.
Oh, yes, yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Yes, yes, he is.
Every praise.
Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship.
Every word of worship with one accord.
Every praise.
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 Every praise is to our God.
Can be Amen. Seated. Go on, Sister Crystal.
Amen.
Hey, good morning, buddy.
Amen.
Good morning. I just want to say thank you. I am so thankful.
Yes.
Every word in that song is
Amen.
Nothing but the truth.
Amen.
I am so grateful. I give all honor and praises to the Lord.
Yes.
And I just want to say that I'm thankful. I am so grateful. Thankful.
Amen.
Amen.
Sister Mel.
Just praising.
Amen.
Yes.
Good morning, church.
Yeah.
I'm also thankful to God for being here this morning. I could hardly sleep last night. I was a little excited to get here.
Amen.
I hadn't testified the last couple of services, but I am so thankful to God. I sold that house.
Amen.
Praise God.
Nice.
But I'm more thankful that he brought me to this message.
Amen. Amen.
And he sees me as a finished work. Even if I don't live up to it, I know he can see me through.
Amen.
And I just want to continue to come to services and manifest his word the best I can for right now.
Amen.
And believe this message. Amen. God bless.
Amen. Amen. I want to praise God real quick.
Go ahead, Brother John.
You know, this morning, Dawn and I, we were talking. We were saying how God is just trying to show us so clearly how we are one with him.
Right.
Amen.
And we've got to see that.
Amen.
You know, we've got to see that.
Amen.
We're talking about if we want a rapture to happen,
come on,
God's going to do it.
Amen.
And we are God in flesh.
Amen.
And we've got to step out with authority and know who we are.
Amen.
We're just talking about that, and we're just praising God. You know, I praise God for a home that's just dedicated to God.
Amen.
You know, this morning, you know, you can get in the spirit of worship even before you get here. And I just praise God for my wife, because she sits down at that piano, she plays that piano and just sings praise songs, you know, and just gets the spirit. And I think, you know, in this house God dwells, but in our house God dwells.
Amen,
You know, and you create an atmosphere.
Amen.
And you live in that atmosphere.
Amen.
You know, he said you can create worlds.
Right.
And you can live in them.
Yes.
And we create a world and we live in it. You know, I don't have to create a world that's out there.
No.
I have a bubble.
Yeah. Amen.
And I live in that bubble.
Yeah, amen.
And I love that bubble.
Amen.
And I just praise God, you know. I praise God that we have a live ministry.
Right. Amen.
You know, I said this before, you know, we're behind the times. But, you know, listening to the tabernacle and, you know, the letter that they wrote today. They write a letter every day. Brother Branham does, his son, before the service. And he's just really pushing that the tape ministry is it.
Yeah.
You know, if you think that a minister can take this word and break it down, I says, well, you know, I do believe that.
Yeah.
I believe it takes a live ministry.
Yeah, amen.
I just don't know how that God would see fit to just have something one day and in a tape and never do anything.
Right.
The Bible. He doesn't want that just to be the 2,000 year ago thing.
No.
God doesn't work that way. And I just thank God that, you know, so many years ago, he allowed me just nothing to walk in these doors.
Come on.
And to be at the fountain.
Right.
And not just at a church that just believes in Brother Branham and believes he's a prophet and believes the end time message, but a church that has the full truth,
amen,
that has God in flesh,
amen,
that has a live ministry, that rebukes me and tells me how to live. And, you know, how are you going to tell me from the tape to live in 2022? How are you going to tell me?
Yeah.
I just praising God.
Amen.
He's so good to me.
Amen. God bless you, Brother John. Appreciate you.
Go ahead, Brother John. A live ministry.
I just appreciate this morning a present tense God that can talk to me when I need him to talk to me, you know. And I'm glad this doesn't have nothing to do with emotions. Because there's a lot of times I don't feel like this, I don't feel like that. Sometimes I ain't happy, sometimes I'm sad, sometimes I'm, you know, I'll go up and down in this flesh here.
In the flesh.
But that revelation, that's that anchor that holds. That's that thing that goes beyond all understanding. And, you know, I just was, you know, thinking about my son as, you know, I was hearing the testimonies, you know, he kind of poured his heart out to me on Friday, just having a rough time in school with a couple of kids and stuff. And, you know, I said, son, this world, we're not of this world.
Right.
We're not from here. Though you have a revelation and you have to walk in that revelation, talk in that revelation. You know, when all else comes against you in this world, and it will, you got to stand to withstand. And a lot of times it comes with keeping your mouth shut, keeping your head down. Sometimes it comes with just watching. Sometimes it just comes with just listening. Sometimes you got to stand up for yourself. And, you know, sometimes you got to put your foot down and draw a line in the sand, you know. And it's whatever you do in that moment that's going to, you know, going to show who you really are, You know, when brother, I heard it from Brother Jim the first time I ever heard it. He said, when the rubber meets the road, what's in you is going to come out. You know, if God's in there, he's going to come out.
Amen.
Just like Brother John just said, we have the ability to create our own world, right, our own atmosphere, and step out on that world and put whatever we want in that world. And that comes from overcoming from your testimony. You overcome by the words of your testimony. Right. So I want you to be strong, son, when you go out there. You know who you are. Right. You know, we come in here and we hear from God himself.
Right.
Nobody else out there is getting this right now, as far as I know. But I'm not concerned about what's going on out there. The only thing I care about is what's being said in here. Right. Because what's being said in here is going to make me stronger. Yeah. It's going to keep me going forward. Yeah. And you got to talk like that. Because you got to talk like you're the only one that's got it. Because you don't know what anybody else has got. Right. But you know what you got. You know what's going on inside of you. It's just like that pregnant lady, you know? It doesn't show at first when you're pregnant. But she knows what's going on inside of her. She knows there's things kicking, moving. Just she don't feel good one moment. Next moment, she feels good. And then all of a sudden, it's starting to show. Now people can see what's going on. That's just, the showing is just the outward manifestation of an inward work, just like the baptisms here. So just when you go out there and deal with stuff, son, ask God to go before you.
Amen.
You know, he's going to make the way for you.
Right.
And you don't have to take anything to heart too much because you know what? This too shall pass.
There you go.
So I just wanted to say that and get off my chest.
God bless, brother Isaiah. A couple announcements. We got we got the thanks. Somebody's behind me.
Oh, go.
You sure? Okay. You got the announcements. We got Thanksgiving. We're gonna be having November the 20th. Make sure you let Sister Elise know what you're bringing. We're gonna be having that. Then we got New Year's service, or actually the church, the Christmas play that they're gonna be doing. That's December the 11th.
Yeah, practice tomorrow at 6:30.
Practice tomorrow at 6:30. So Monday practice at 6:30, but then the December 11th is when they're going to have that. And then we got New Year's coming up. So the dinner's at 6, and service starts right after that. Go ahead, Sister Dawn.
I'm just grateful for this place. So grateful. I love how you got up, Crystal, and said, I'm just thankful.
Yeah.
You know, and Brother Micah, we don't even get a birth until you get that pressure put on you.
Yeah.
And you realize who you are in those times. And, you know, Christ said, you know, if this world was ours, we'd fight for
right.
it. But, you know, it's not ours.
It's not.
I thank God for a place we can come and just talk lip to ear. I'm thankful for this place.
Amen.
I appreciate a husband that puts what he said in our home.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was thinking, today we were talking, and the ministry lately has been talking about that miraculous God.
Right.
That none of us could even understand. Came down and planned through Christ. And all that Christ was, he poured into us.
Right.
And there was a time when I thought, how can we make ourselves equal with Jesus? He paid such a price.
Right.
But I was reading this morning, Brother Branham said, that every knee shall bow to him, every tongue shall confess to him, because that was his job. You know, and God's going to be all in all. And it'd be, we used to think it'd be robbery to be equal with God. But it's robbery not to take our place.
Right.
It's robbery not to stand and say who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll never be able to get a rapture until we know who we are. And not just know it, we got to speak who we are.
Right.
I want to start talking different.
Right.
When I say I'm healed or you're healed or the word is true,
right.
You know, I was just so much in my mind this morning.
Amen.
And, you know, we Satan wants to tell you, well, you're not this and you're not that.
I know it.
And Brother Branham, he'd say, who am I waiting for?
Yeah.
Well, we know when that voice speaks, and that's
right.
Christ. And whenever
that's
you're
right.
talking after his word, you're
yeah.
talking the word.
Amen.
You're speaking the word.
Amen.
And I just thank God because we get this here from the ministry.
Yeah.
And I love
Amen.
It. And I can't
Amen.
Put it into words, but I'm grateful.
Amen. God bless you.
Right.
Come on, Brother Kevin.
Amen.
Amen.
It's always good to be back in the house of the Lord.
Yes. Amen.
This is exciting. This
right.
message that we have been preaching about just being God and just being in flesh. I mean, this is very exciting. I love it. I really do.
Yes.
I mean, you really can't be that. You really can't.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Pastor Martin said something at the end of Wednesday when he was, you know, saying what he was saying about God in flesh. You know, we always come up here, and I've been guilty of that. And God just really just rebuked me hard about flesh, you know, because we all got flesh problems. We all
right.
do. And you know what? God's saying, just eliminate that. Quit that.
Yeah.
No one cares about that.
Right.
What's really, what's your desire? You love this word.
Yeah.
That's the most, important thing. And it is. And I'm thinking like, you know what? Thank you, Lord, for rebuking me. I needed that because I come up here many a times and just keep saying my flesh. To hell with the flesh.
Right.
I mean, seriously, to hell with it because it's bigger than that. We love this word.
That's it. Right.
And as far as I'm concerned, you guys are all perfect to me in my eyes.
Right.
You are. I mean, yeah, we might stick each other. Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. But what's the real desire? We all love this word. We do. Right. None of us, you don't have to pull us to come to church or tell what time church starts. We all know what time church starts. We know that God's here. We know that.
Right.
How long have we been coming here? This ain't nothing new. It's not. And you know, I thank God that we don't have to even have to worry about the answer. We get answers in this place.
Amen.
Day in and day out, week after week. I mean, what more do you want? What more do you want? And I really thank God for just talking to me in my seat because I've come here so many times and God said, stop it. And if I don't know anything else, I know what God speaks.
Right.
Oh yeah.
I do. If I don't know anything else, I know what God speaks. I'm like, Lord, okay, I need to shut up. I need to quit that.
Right.
I need to stop. I love this word. That's all that matters.
Amen.
It does. I mean, we're going to get corrected out here. There's nobody in this church that have not got corrected. We need it.
Yeah.
We need it. If Pastor might have called my name every single Sunday and Wednesday, so be it.
Right.
It is what it is. I need help on this side. He's trying to get us to get help on this side. Because if it was for him, how would we wouldn't even make it here. We wouldn't.
Right.
Thank God he calls to us because he don't have to.
Right.
He don't have to. If I had to be a betting man, there's no way to say to the pastor he has to call to us. He don't, because my thing is he's gonna be all right. The question is, are you gonna be okay?
Right, yeah,
he ain't worried about him.
Yeah,
worried about
okay.
you. He
right.
got it.
Yeah.
He's got it. The ministry's got it. He's trying to give it to us. It's
right.
up to you to take and receive it. It's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, thank you, Lord. I love you guys. I just love that you guys are so. You preach the word to us and you give us what we need. It's such a
right.
blessing. I mean, I just can't say it enough.
Amen. God bless you. Brother Jeremiah, would you mind singing "The Warrior's a Child"? You sing that? That was a Brother Jeremiah was always been my hero, and he sang that song, and hopefully you get the same I get out of it.
Yeah,
you see him a strong man, and he sing that song, and
it's always blessed.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm glad to do that. I'm gonna look at the words here because it's been a while.
That's all right.
But you know that's okay too.
Amen.
If it doesn't come. It's moving slow. Somebody else maybe can.
Yeah.
The devil will do it. It's good to be here this morning.
Amen.
Lately I've been winning battles left and right, but even winners can't get wounded in the fight. People say that I'm amazing, song beyond my years, but they don't see inside of me. I'm hiding all my tears, and they don't know that I go running home when I fall down, 'cause they don't know who picks me up when no one is. My sword and cry for just a while, 'cause deep inside this armor the warrior is a child, unafraid because his armor is the best. Sword and cry for just a while. beside this armor. The warrior is a child, unafraid, because his armor is the best. But even so, say that I'm amazing, it never fails to retreat, but they don't see the enemies that lay me at his feet, and they don't know that I go running home when I fall down. They don't know who picks me up. Inside this armor, the warrior is a child. Amen. This is where you come to get your help, right here.
Amen.
I got another song I want to sing, if that's okay.
Amen.
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 I asked my family to come up here with me.
Amen.
We all got blessed going to South Carolina.
Amen.
My kids came back saying they wanted to sing a song.
Come on, yeah.
So we practiced a little bit here. I'm glad that for a home that loves God as well.
Yes. Beautiful.
And God knows that we will fight spirits, but if we can just stay on this word, we'll get through.
Amen.
So this is the Allen Party 5 version of We Come to Lift Our Hands. So
amen.
I might just play this all by myself, but that's all right, because the time on this is kind of hard on me.
That's okay. That's all right here.
We come to lift our hands and give Him glory. We come to lift our hands and give Him praise. We come to lift our hands and give Him glory. We come to lift our hands and give Him praise. Give Him glory. Lift our hands and give Him praise.
sure can.
I mean, amen. You know, well, after a while, you have to keep stirring it up. So I haven't got up in a while, but I thank God for life, health, and strength, for this revelation, for this live ministry. He didn't come to dwell in pages. He came to dwell in human beings. Amen. I thank God for my pastor, for my husband. I thank God for no matter whether it's up, whether you feel down, I never stop believing. And I just claim my healing. I thank him for this word, and I give him the praise.
Amen. God bless Sister Grace. Sister Renee, you'll be the last one. Go ahead.
So when Jeremiah was singing, I enjoyed that song. It was very nice. Thank you for bringing it. But I was just thinking about a message that Jeremiah had done years ago. And when I had enemies that come against me, it always, because even as adults, I mean, there's still jerks that are in the world.
Right.
You know, sometimes you got to work with them and see them every single day. And when you're in the, but anyway, back to Jeremiah's message. it was about Joshua. And no enemy that comes against you is ever going to prosper.
Right. Yeah.
You just remember that, you know. And I would get so busy with my job and, you know, just a million things happening at the same time. I would honestly forget. I still knew who I was and I still was God. But you just forget. God's got it. You know what I mean? So what I would do is post little post-it notes around the art room or wherever so I would remember, you know? And one of my favorite ones was something that Doug told me. He's like, the light doesn't care about the darkness. Because I'm like, it's so dark there. The people are so mean or, you know, whatever. Right. It just does its job and shine.
Right.
So don't worry about those dark people. You got it.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's sing him. Let's get him up. We're standing on holy ground.
Holy ground.
Page 10.
Amen.
Page 10. Page 10.
Holy God.
We are standing on holy ground.
Yes, we are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all all around.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we have come to your house to see you, to hear from you. And Lord, you said where two and three are gathered, that you would be in the midst. So Lord, we are in your presence. Let us be aware of it, Lord. Move every hindrance aside, everything that tries to distract us from seeing you, every weight and every sin that so easily besets us. Let's lay those things aside and look to you, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Knowing that, Lord, in your presence, all we need to do is just speak and you'll hear. You said you hear before we even call. But you like to hear from us. And Lord, as we come this morning, we want to come and say thank you for all that you do for us, all that you've given us, how you've blessed us in so many ways. Lord, there's many prayer requests this morning that we want to lay before you, ask you to move on those requests. Brother Mike, and ask you to send forth your word and touch him. Brother Don Parnell is sick and needs a touch from you. We have people here in this local assembly that needs a touch from you. We may not be 100% in our body and need a touch, but God, you have blessed us in so many ways that we almost feel like, Lord, we shouldn't even ask you for anything. But here we stand again this morning asking you one more time to move. Move on Anna's behalf. Move on Clarice's behalf. Move on Don's behalf. Move on John's behalf. On Sister Donna's behalf. Just move in the body. Kara needs a touch from you. Just ask you to move in this place today, Lord. And Lord, as your word comes forth, let the healing powers go forth from this place with us. Lord, we've opened the word and ask you to open our hearts. Speak to us today. Those that aren't here or couldn't be here this morning, ask you to be with them. Bring them back to your house safely one more time. Thank you for all you've done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And I'm still thanking God for this nice pulpit. Brother Allen wanted to make sure we have room to preach. He asked me, how long ago it was. He said, would you mind if I made you a pulpit? And I thought, well, it never even crossed my mind. But I thought, you know what? If he wants to do it, God's putting on his heart to do it, I want to receive it. And now we get to get the benefits of it. And just as a reminder, we no longer have the tithing envelopes here. They're in the back behind, by the back door. If you're going to pay your tithes, Jeremiah said he wants to make sure you don't forget to pay them. So you can't use that as an excuse. You don't know where the tithing envelopes are. They're back on the back door on your way in or on your way out, either way. So it's good to be here. I got a chance the other day. Remember Brother Don Parnell? He's had some surgery. And Jeremiah and Dwayne got to go visit him a little bit. I knew the surgery was coming up, and I told him I wanted to come over and see him before he went in. And so we went to see him Tuesday, I think it was. And he had surgery Friday, so just keep him in your prayers. And Brother Mike Breisch had, I think he said, two strokes. And he said he was already on some baby aspirin, so he said that helped because it could have been much worse. I went by to see him yesterday, and he right now he's got some paralysis in his right hand, and we need God to move on that. Just keep, you know, God does heal. Don't doubt that. He is a healer. He still is a healer. He still is a savior. He still is a redeemer. He still is everything that he ever was. He still is. And so don't doubt God that he can't move. He can, and he will, and he does. So it's good to be back. And I don't know what to do with all this room up here. It's good to be able to come and share together. I got a chance to text Brother Tony Ojurubisa. After how many years am I going to get it right? Jay laughs because I always butcher it. I got to text him the other day, and he said he just landed in Florida. I mean, just as I was texting him, he was just getting in Florida. And I was telling him about how I was going to be retiring in January and getting out of the workforce. And he was all excited. I said, good, we're traveling together. So I don't think I'm going to be bored when I'm leaving Springfield. I think I'll have plenty to do. My boss told me, because he finally told the managers the other day, and one threw a book across the table at another one, and the other one hollered at her and said, you didn't even look at that. And she said, how can I look at that after he just told us this? And then another one looked, the other one's got her head down on the desk. It was a horrible meeting. And I told my boss, I said, your timing is terrible. He just told him out of the blue, and I was like, eh. But he said I should come and picket your church. Because he said, we should come and testify your church and let them know how much we need you. So needless to say, they're not altogether happy that I'm leaving, but, you know, it's just time. It has nothing to do with anything other than it's time. When God says it's time to move, it's time to move. And you say, well, what does it mean? I don't know. Where are you going? I'm just doing what I've done for the last 40-plus years. As God says move, I move. So that's always in the work. We're down to 2 months now, so they better get busy because that'll go fast. But it's good to be in the house this morning, and I want to go over here and read a scripture in Galatians chapter 4. It's a well-known scripture reading that we read a lot. And I wanted to start here, Galatians chapter 4, and we'll just start with verse 1. And this has got so much in it, I'm going to try to just read it straight through without commenting, because I could stop at every comma. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. And because ye are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. I want to talk today, and you can title this, I want to talk on eternal life. I want to talk on eternal life. And I wanted to start here, because there's so much here. Now, I wanted to start because it says an heir. An heir is somebody who's in the family line. An heir is someone who is related by blood. An heir is someone who has the ability to receive something that doesn't cost them a dime. That's an heir. That's what we're dealing with here. And we had it backwards because we thought we were heirs with Satan. But we never were heirs with Satan. Amen. We were a servant of Satan. Now a servant differs from an heir.
That's right. Preach now. Come
on. A servant is somebody who is hired. Right. You're not related. Not necessarily related. You're just somebody that's paying getting paid for what they do. And when you're dealing with a servant, you're dealing with a different group of people than an heir.
Amen.
When a servant's done, they don't get nothing. They don't get an inheritance. They don't get the mansion. They don't get the car. They just go home. They're not related. They're not in line to receive anything. See, that's what people don't understand, the difference between a child of God and a servant of Satan.
Okay.
A servant of Satan, God is not obligated to you for nothing.
Amen.
He don't owe you a dime. He don't owe you eternal life. He don't owe you nothing. You just used.
Amen.
When I leave my job,
right.
They just got to find somebody else.
Right.
I lose all the benefits. I lose all the vacation. I lose all the sick leave. I lose everything. Because I'm just a hired servant. When you're a servant and you're a servant of Satan, when you're finished with this life, that's it. People think that God has to give you something. They think that God is obligated to do something for you, but you're not a son.
Right.
Now, my son, I'm obligated to take care of.
Amen.
I'm obligated. It's my job. I don't care how mad they make me and how much they eat off my table and how much money it costs me. I am obligated to take care of my son.
Right.
He belongs to me.
Amen.
We share the same blood.
Amen.
When I die, he gets everything that I have. An heir, as long as he is a child. When you're a child, that's an unborn believer. An unborn again believer differs nothing from a servant. A servant is somebody who cannot be born again. People want to make this as though God is out here collecting whosoever will, let all these people come. God is not after everybody. He's only after his heirs. Oh, I use servants. Oh, you can hire a servant and they can be used for something. But an heir to the kingdom, that's different. You don't even have to do anything to receive something in my will. Matter of fact, most of the time, people don't even know they're in the will.
Right. Come on.
I didn't even deal with that in the scripture today, but the Bible tells me that until somebody dies, the testator can't even, the will can't even be tested.
Right.
You don't even know altogether what's going to come to you
right. Until
after the will is read.
Amen.
But the will is not for the servant.
Come on. Read.
The will is for the son. The will is for the daughter. The will is for the bloodline.
Yes. Yes.
God's looking for a bloodline.
Amen.
He's looking for somebody that belongs to him. Somebody's got the tag of Jesus Christ on him.
Amen.
And everybody don't have that.
Amen.
Everybody can't see this.
Amen.
You wonder why people don't want this? They don't want this because they're not in the bloodline.
Right.
If you're in the bloodline, you want this.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
If you're in the bloodline, you'll crave this.
Yes.
If you're in the bloodline, you'll need this. When you think that you don't have to have it, oh, I can go get me a job somewhere else. You might go get you a job somewhere else, but you know what? If you're not a seed of God, not a son of God, you'll receive nothing.
Amen.
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 A servant can get mad and leave.
Right.
Many have.
Right.
But a son can't leave.
Right.
He owns the business. He's got his whole inheritance relying on him remaining a son. And it's not even something that you have to force yourself to do. It's just because it's in your blood. A seed of God doesn't force themselves to become a child of God. They are a child of God. Because you're sons.
That's the only reason why. Because your son is why you're on the wheel. Because your son is why you can receive this. Because your son is why you can hear this. Because your son is why you can understand this.
Amen.
You didn't become a son. David didn't just become my son. He always was a part of me. He was a son before he got here. He wasn't a manifest son, but he's always in me, part of me. And the union with me and his mother gave us an opportunity to bring into manifestation. Your sonship isn't because you've done anything. You're not here today because you've been so good. You're not here today because you've been so righteous. You're not here today because you got everything right and knew everything just right. And you did so much. You're here because you're a son of God, a daughter of God. That's the only reason. If you weren't a son or a daughter of God, you couldn't even understand what I'm saying. You say, why is not this church packed today? It's because there's not many sons and daughters. The later the hour gets, the less seeds is out there. Less people are heirs to the kingdom. People are trying to make sons out of people who can't be sons. People are trying to make daughters out of people who can't be daughters. People are trying to bring their whole family in there, and their whole family is not going.
Oh, oh my goodness.
An heir. As long as he's not born again. As long as he's a child. Remember what he said about a child? When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I carried on like the world. I looked just like the world. I talked just like the world. The reason I understand who I am now is because I'm no longer a child. When you grow up and you become a man or a woman of God, you become different than the rest of the world. That's why they don't like you. That's why they don't deal with you. That's why they don't know what to do with you, because you're not a child anymore. You're different. But before you were born again, you didn't have problems. You got along with the world. They loved you and you loved them. You're a child. A child will play with anybody. You would put a child in a room with another child. They'll play. You put two adults in a room, they ain't gonna play. They're lucky to speak. They're lucky to say hello. I don't know you. You're not related to me. I have this idea of what you are and who you are. And that's an adult. That's, you know, see, when I was a child, I can do anything and get away with it. Even though you were a son of God.
Speak, Lord.
Before you were born again, you got away with murder.
Amen.
All three of your realms were in harmony. They sang in harmony.
Yeah.
Your flesh, your spirit, and your soul all got along.
Yeah.
But when I become a man, that's when the battle started.
Amen.
That's when there was a tension there.
Yeah.
That's when there was a war. You say, well, there's no fight. If you're not fighting, you're not born again. Because when you're born again, you become a man. And you put away all these childish things. But before you're born again, even though you were a child, you were always a child. You didn't become a child of God. You always were a child of God. That's why I come after you. You differed nothing from the rest of the world. You look like them. You walk like them. You talk like them. Get born again. You start walking different.
Oh, yeah.
Automatically.
Amen.
You start talking different. Automatically.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I avoided trying to act like my daddy. Didn't want to act like him. Didn't want to do nothing he did.
Right.
When I become a man, I found myself doing a lot of things my daddy did.
Right.
And not even on purpose.
Right.
It just happens.
Right.
You become your daddy. It's just in you to become your father. It's just in you to become your mother. You don't have to make yourself do it. You don't have to practice it. You don't have to go and study about it. You'll do it despite yourself. When you're a son of God, you'll start acting like your father. Automatically. That's why I don't have to force you. I don't have to push you. I don't have to prod you. I don't have to try. You're an heir of his.
Amen.
All my brothers and sisters look alike. And we look like our mama, and we look like our daddy. And it wasn't because we tried to put some makeup on and make us look like them. We just automatically grew into them. We're heirs of theirs. We inherited their looks. We inherited their height. We inherited their makeup. It was just in you to do it. People try to serve God by some law or some ritual or something that they got to do to make themselves serve God. But if you're a child of God, you're going to serve God because you have no other choice. It's just in you to do it.
Amen.
That's the difference between a servant and an heir. An heir is going to act like God. I don't have to follow you around to make you act holy. I don't have to follow you around to make you act like God. You're going to act like God just because that's who you are.
Amen.
You're an heir.
Yeah.
The blood runs in your veins.
Yes.
You can't help it. You got the blood tag of Jesus Christ on you.
Right.
And you can't do nothing else. That's why I don't believe in forcing people to be Christians. You're forcing your kids. You're forcing your spouse. You force yourself. Be who you are. If you don't love God, don't love God. Don't do it because somebody else wants you to do it. Do whatever's in you to do. If you're a child of God, you will love God. If you're a child of God, you will serve God. If you're a child of God, you will love the Word of God. Because you're an heir of His. People want to inherit the kingdom, and they're not even in the will. When you're a child, you were under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. What time is that? You can't even be born again until you get to where the word is being preached. Till you get under tutors and governors. You've got tutors and governors. You got people who will preach to you and preach to you and bring you to the point where appointed by the Father for you to be born again. And that doesn't have anything to do with the tutors and the governors. I'm glad it doesn't. It's appointed by the Father. It's not appointed by the tutors and the governors. I can't tell you when you're going to be born again. I can't even tell you if you're born again. I can tell you what I assume. I can tell you what I see. I can tell you what I think. But the real truth of the matter is the time appointed by the Father is between you and Him.
Amen.
Some people are born again early. Some people are born again late. Some people come in their youth. Some people come in their old age.
Right.
It's appointed of a Father.
Amen.
You say, well, I'm too young to serve God. It's between you and the Father.
Amen.
If you know what He's talking about, if you can receive the Word, and you can hear the Word, and you can believe the Word, that's the time appointed of the Father.
Amen.
If it was up to me, I'd get everybody born again right now. I'm just a tutor and a governor. I'm just a teacher. I'm just here to guide you. I'm here to teach you what the way is. But it's between you and the Father on when that new birth happens. And when it happens, you'll know it. You'll know it. Because you'll start taking on the traits of your Father. What are some of the traits of your Father? My sheep will hear my voice. You'll hear from God. And you'll know it's God. Somebody said today, I know I hear from God. When you hear from God and you know it's God, that's a trait of the Father. A son does nothing until the Father first shows him. That's a trait of the Father. The Father's traits of the Word. You'll start living the Word of God with every heartbeat, and you can't even control it. You'll do things that you don't want to do. You'll stop doing things that you used to love to do. You'll go here and you won't go there, and you'll go there and you won't go here.
I know that's right.
That's because the Father's traits are working in the heirs. If you're an heir and a joint heir with Christ, then that means it all belongs to you.
Right.
A lot of people want to go to heaven. They're not on the will.
Amen.
Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. We were always His children, but we were in bondage.
Right.
We were locked in sin. Locked in sin.
Yeah.
Until Jesus came, we were locked in sin.
Yeah.
But when the fullness of time was come, when Jesus came, paid the price, until Jesus paid the price, even the sons of God went to hell. Everybody went to hell. Son or no son, all the children went to hell. But then Jesus came. And when Jesus came, he paid the price for his own.
Amen.
Nobody can do it. Nobody was worthy. Only one could do it was Jesus. And he didn't pay the price. See, people think he paid the price for everybody. He only paid the price for his own. He's only responsible for the heirs. Servants are not in the will. He came for his own. That's all he wanted. That's all he cares about. All he really needs is his own. All he ever wanted was his own. He never wanted the whole world. He didn't want this world order. He didn't want the people of this world. He came for his own. His heirs. So when he came, he paid the price to redeem them that were under the law.
Right.
Now, we were all under the law.
Amen.
We were all sold under the law.
Yeah.
And redemption came to pay for them that were under the law, but not for everybody. When I go to the pawn shop, if something that belongs to me is in the pawn shop, I'm going with this ticket to get what belongs to me.
Right.
When you pawn something, they give you a number and they give you this ticket. And you have so long in order to redeem it. And if you don't redeem it, then they have the right to sell it.
Yeah.
I think it's like 30 days or something. You put it in there for 30 days. And then if you don't come back within that 30-day period, it is no longer just yours. It's whoever wants to buy it. So when Jesus came, he came because we were all sold into the pawn shop. We were sold into slavery, into servanthood, into sin. We were sold at the fall of the garden. And when we were sold in the Garden of Eden, we were sold into sin. We were put in the pawn shop. Though we belong to him. We always belong to him. Being in the pawn shop doesn't mean you don't belong to him. Matter of fact, when you're in the pawn shop until the time is up, nobody else can redeem that item. They can't even sell it. I don't care how much you offer them. They cannot sell it because it doesn't belong to them. And when we were sold into sin, Satan sold us into sin and bondage, but we could not be purchased by him. We always belonged to Jesus. We were always heirs to Christ. We were always his kinfolk, even though we were sold into sin. Even before we got here, we were still part of him. Even in our parents' womb.
Amen. Right.
In our grandparents' womb.
Come on.
In our great-grandparents' womb.
Amen.
We were always a part of God. You think salvation, you think the birth of Jesus Christ is amazing. That was easy.
Right.
That was easy. God spoke it and put the seed in Mary and spoke it and put the egg in Mary and brought forth Jesus. That was a shortcut. But think of what he had to do to get you here. Because you are no different than what God saw you before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And he had to mix this one with this one, put this one with this one, put this one, put a little color in here, put a little eye shade in here, put a little different eye color there, and put a little hair color here, and put the weight here, and put this. He mixed all these elements together to get this thing called you.
Right.
But you were his heir the whole time.
Yeah.
There was never a time that you were not an heir. There was never a time that you were not a son. So when he come and paid the price, he paid the price for them that were under the law. He came to redeem from the pawn shop that belonged to him. That's what redemption of people don't even understand how salvation works. They think God is just down here preaching a message and getting your hearts broken. And then when your hearts get all mushy and soft, then he says, won't you come and bring you up and join a church and get you speaking tongues or get you to make a code of rules or promise to live by a code of rules. They think that's the way you come in. You don't come in that way. You come to God because you come from God. You come to God because you are an heir of his. He come looking for you. When you weren't even looking for him.
Amen.
You were in your denomination. You were in your church. You might have just been in your house. And God come and rooted you out.
Yeah.
Brought you to the Word.
He did.
Because you were a son, he brought you to the Word. He couldn't even have you a manifested son until he got you to the Word. So he brought you here.
Yeah. I know he did.
You didn't come here on your own. You didn't discover this on your own. You weren't so smart that you knew where God was. You had 1,000 different denominational doors to go in. How are you going to pick the right one? He come looking for you. Because you were his son. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam sinned, God come down in the cool of the evening looking for Adam. Adam wasn't looking for God. God was looking for Adam because that was God's son. You did not find God. God found you.
Amen.
You love God because he first loved you. When you see what he's done for you, when you see what he's left you, what he's given you as a son, when you see that, then you recognize that God loved you so much and you turn right around and put your love back on God.
Yeah. Right.
I do what I do because I love him.
Right.
And why do you love him? Because he first loved me.
Yeah.
He left me everything. Do you know he's leaving us everything?
Yeah.
Oh my. And because ye are sons, God sent forth his Spirit. That's the reason you get born again. You're not born again and then God sends you a Spirit. He sends the Spirit to give you the birth. Because you're his heir. Because you're part of him. Because you belong to him. God come to you. You did not go to him. Pray all you want. Fast all you want. Live holy all you want. Do all your good works all you want. Build hospitals. Do pray for the sick. Do all those things you want. If you're not an heir of God, you cannot receive the reward. If you didn't come from God, you cannot go to God. If you're not a son of God, he's not even interested in you. Woo. He doesn't love everybody. Oh, people read John 3:16, but they don't know what it means. They think that for God so loved the world, they think he loved everybody. God didn't love everybody. God only loves his own.
Yes. True.
Because you're son.
Yes.
Why did you come to this message? Because you are son.
Right.
What do you know there was a point in your life? It was like a switch. You could care less about God. Didn't want God. Wasn't fooling with God. Then all of a sudden, one day, a switch. Switch. Who did that? Switch. It's like first moment, you could care less about God. Then the next moment, you got to have him. You don't care what. Where'd that come from? That was God pulling you. That's God hooking you. You don't catch a fish with a pole. First you hook him. You hook him. Get him by the jaw. Or by the, I caught him by the fin before. Just hook him. However you get it, hooked. And then you start reeling it in.
Amen.
I've caught some big fish before. Out deep sea fishing, you don't just reel them in. You work it, and you work it. And actually, I've caught them. They've been big enough before I've had to actually stop and rest. And the fish has to stop and rest. Because you're fighting them, and they're fighting you. And you're going in, you're pulling and pulling, and they're pulling back. And actually, eventually, if you don't lose them, you get them to the surface. When they get to the surface, they just lay out because they're so tired. They've been fighting. You know what happened to you? When you got you under the word, you fought this, and you fought that, and you pulled this, and you pulled that, and you tried to keep out of God's will and trying to make your way around. And finally, when you get up to where God is, you just lay out, all right. I give up. We sing that song, give up and let Jesus take over. That's what happens to a son of God. You will come to God. You're not stronger than him. You can't outlast him. You can't outwhip him. You can't outbeat him. God will have you because you're his son. He's not going to lose any of his.
Amen.
You're not doing this. You're fighting with everything that lies within you. I try my best not to serve God. Told myself I never was going to do it. I wasn't planning on serving God. Didn't want God. But he wanted me. He put me in his will. And because ye are sons, that's the only reason that you can believe what we're saying today. The only reason you're sitting here today is because you're sons. You're believers. You come from God. Remember, we always quote this now. When I finally got a revelation of that, I haven't stopped quoting it since. No man can go to God except for he that come from God. Even the Son, too. Not just him, but including him. He could not go to God unless it came from him. But you cannot be an heir unless you come from God. You say, well, y'all don't pray, y'all don't fast, y'all don't do this, y'all don't do that. That has nothing to do with it. Because you're sons. Oh, you need to clean your life up, you need to straighten this up. That has nothing to do with it. Because you're sons. Oh, Brother Moore, you need to tell those people to clean up and do better. And this where in the apostolic, you couldn't even wear open-toed shoes back in the day. I think they do now, but back in the day, you couldn't wear open-toed shoes. Your sleeves, sisters had to have sleeves down. Men had to have long sleeves. Couldn't wear earrings. Better not have makeup on. Don't cut your hair. All those things. They said, oh, you should be teaching them to do all that stuff. They're coming because they're sons. That's the only reason they're coming. Only reason you can come is if you are son. Because ye are sons. God sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Father. Abba, Father. That's the only reason. Only reason. Don't be so high mighty and think you're so good and so worthy of this. None of us are worthy. When you get an heir, when you get to that reading of the will, and you're sitting there listening to all that you get to take home or all that's been given to you, you get in a room and sit in a room with somebody that's left you $20 million. And you haven't done a thing for it. First thing that comes to your mind, what have I done to deserve this? Nothing. Why do I get to have this? Because I want you to have it. You're related to me. I will take care of my children. Do you know he's given us eternal life? He's given us a new body, a new soul, a new spirit, a new heaven, a new earth. I'm reading from the will. This is what the will said you're going to get. This is what the will said you're going to get. And you're sitting there like, me? I think John said, little old me?
Yeah.
I walked in here, out of all the churches, out of all the people who want God, he turned around and gave me all of that, and I have done nothing.
Amen.
to deserve it. Why am I getting this? Because you're sons. Because you come from God and you're going back to God. You're a part of Him. You're part of His family. That's the only reason. He said, well, I'm a good liver. I'm glad you are. Makes life easier for me. But when it comes to this inheritance, you don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But thank God we're related. Thank God we are related. Brother Branham said, there it is. Jesus came forth, died upon the cross, and accomplished redemption, restoring to the original owner by means of the purchase or paying the price, and thereby placed us as sons. He did not make us sons, for we were already His sons, but He placed us as sons. For as long as we were in the world, in the flesh, we could not be recognized as sons. We were held captive by the devil, but we were sons nevertheless. Though you were sold in sin, you were still a son. You've never become a son. You always were. That should make you feel better about yourself. You're not doing this because you're trying to become a son, trying to become what God wants. God already wants you. You're related to Him. A son is a son, whether he's a good son or a bad son. Sometimes parents have to get their sons out of jail. Sometimes they got to go pick them up when they get a flat on the highway. Sometimes they get in a fight with their friends down the street and it's in the middle of a big shootout and big mess and you got to go and get them out and figure out what's going on. Sometimes sons aren't just sitting in church next to you saying amen to the word. Most times they're not. Because most sons run from God.
Amen.
But they're still a son. It doesn't matter. Because in our parents' eyes, their children are always good. It always cracks me up. Their children are always good. And they might be some rascals. But not in the parents' eyes. That's my child. Don't you mess with them. They will box your ears in. This kid might be a mess. I've seen parents go to the school to tell off teachers, and their kid's bad. Teacher had a right to throw him out of class. Had a right to send him to the principal's office. And the parents come and say, why'd you do that to Johnny? Johnny's bad. Johnny's not bad. He just needs a little attention. No, Johnny needs a belt. But in the parents' eyes, he's perfect. In the parents' eyes, he don't see no problems. Satan always goes to God and try to tell on y'all. And God's looking and say, what are you talking about? That's my son. That's my daughter. There ain't nothing wrong with them. They're perfect. He might be a rascal, but he's perfect. Placed us as sons. He didn't make us sons, for we were already His sons, but He placed us as sons. For as long as we were in the world, in the flesh, we could not be recognized as sons. We were held captive by the devil, but we were sons nonetheless. And hear this. And because ye are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, whereby ye cry, Abba, Father. Upon whom did the Spirit fall at Pentecost? Sons. At Corinth? Sons. Upon sons while they heard the word. On whom in Fairborn did God send His Spirit to fall upon? Sons. As they heard the word. You couldn't even be a manifested son until you heard the word. But because the word is here and you are here, the combination for a son of God is perfect. You say, I need to see this. I need to see that. I need to see you eat the word of God. The proof that you're a son is that you say amen to every word.
Yeah. Amen.
Full obedience to every word entitles you to the token. Amen. Nothing else.
Amen.
Give all your money to be burned. Give me your tithes and offerings. Do all these good things. Build hospitals and all that. Without charity, without God, you're nothing.
Amen.
Without being a son, you're nothing. There's a lot of people in you say they do a lot of good. And thank God that he has foolish virgin out there as an option.
Amen.
Thank God that they have a place to fall back on too. Because the majority of people in the hour that we're living in are being fooled by denominational tradition. And they're going to church and doing a lot of good things and living their lives in some form and fashion. And if it wasn't for the foolish virgin, they would have no way to be saved. But because they did something for the sons of God, God will do something for them. But they're not sons. They don't get the reward you get. Remember, we're going to the city. You know where they're going? New Earth. Oh, that ain't a bad thing. It's like, it's still a nice place. But it's not his bride. It's not his sons and daughters. Sons and daughters are going to be in the city. They're going to be so happy to be on a new earth. See, right now we battle flesh and spirit, and we battle our own emotions. And we say, oh, but surely God will let them in the city. Oh, they'll get to come in once a month. But that's not a bad thing. We look at it as, see, we're so hierarchical. We want to make this one's better than that one. This one's better than that one. This one's better than that one.
Right.
It's not going to be that way. When it's all said and done, it's going to be a God all in all.
Amen.
We're going to be happy to be the bride. Jesus is going to be happy to be the groom. The 144,000 is going to be happy to be the 144,000.
Right.
Foolish virgin is going to have to be happy to be the foolish virgin.
Right.
The innocents that get redeemed are going to be happy to be the ones that were innocents. We're all going to be caught up to the same age. It's not going to be old ones and young ones. And we're all not going to be still trying to climb this hierarchical ladder, trying to, I'm better than you, and this is and this one, and trying to figure out who's going to be on the left and who's going to be on the right and who's going to be in the city and why is the city better than the new earth. And everybody's going to be happy.
Amen.
Because it's going to be God all in all.
Amen.
Amen.
But on this side, we fight and fuss and try to make one better than the other. We try to pick places where we're going to sit in the church because we want to be up close, or we want to be here, or we want to be there, or we want to be the first one up to testify, or we want to be the first one to sing, and we just challenge ourselves, and this rat race. It's rat race. And we're caught in it. But when it comes to salvation, you know what? We're all the same. There's nobody in this church any better than anybody else.
Amen.
Oh, in my old denomination, we had the rich people sitting over here, the poor people sitting over here, those who had money, it was up front, and those that were the missionaries wore white and sat in their own little section, and the preacher sat in their own little section, and the band and the orchestra sat in their own little section, and the pastor and the co-pastor sat in these three chairs that had a big chair in the middle and two on the side showing the ones that's the boss. And that's in the church. We always got to fight and scratch and try to be better than somebody else. But when you are a son, it doesn't matter where you're sitting around the table. It doesn't matter about any of that stuff.
Amen. Thank God.
Won't it be wonderful there, John?
Yeah.
Having no burdens to bear. Joyously singing with heart bells all ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Now, I want to talk about eternal life. So in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. That's the payment. For you to have sin is death. And for death to be on the earth, that's sin. For the wages, verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the real gift.
Right.
See, everybody want to seek the best gift, and they want to seek after tongues. They want a gift. They want to do something that's going to make them somebody's, because we're always trying to be better. We get to a traffic light, and we put the front of our car up a little bit farther ahead to the other one. You both got the red light, but you know what? We're going to Kroger's, going to the checkout, and you see somebody else coming. I know I'm the only one. That's just in our nature. We compete on everything. We look at our testimony. Oh, my testimony wasn't as good as Brother Jeremiah's. Oh, I should have said this. Man, I wish I got to church a little bit closer. I could have got that parking spot and I could pull it straight through. The wages of sin is death, but the gift, the real gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The real gift is eternal life. I don't care whether you can sing or not. I don't care if you can testify or not. I don't care if you can preach or not. If you got the real gift of God, you got everything that everybody else in this place has. It's not a competition then. I ain't trying to pray longer than you. Some people try to pray louder than others. Don't pray louder so you'll hear my prayer, because my prayer, I know how to put the words so that God will hear us. My voice is good, so I'm going to sing louder, because I want to make this sound real good for God. Have you heard Jay sing? I'm going to sing louder than him, because he's always off key. That's what we do. And I'm talking about believers. Amen. We compete on everything. Amen. Who's got the best dress? Who's got the best suit? Who's got the best pants? Who's got the best car? But if you have the gift of God, that's, and we all got that, don't we?
Amen.
All right. I thought I'd give you an opportunity. If we have the gift of God living in us, I don't care if I never get ahead at the stoplight. I don't care if I never get to the top of the class. I don't care if I ever fit in. I don't care if they ever get along with me. I don't care if they ever care the way I sing. I don't care if they ever care the way I dress. I don't care if they care about what I look like. I've got the greatest gift there is, and that's the gift of God, and that eternal life is living in me because I'm an heir. I'm an heir. You can't stop me. You can't hold me back. You can't take it away from me. His blood is running in my veins. I'm a more because I am a more. It's in my very DNA. And seeing that God is the only thing that's eternal, if you're not a part of that eternal life, you have only something temporal that will be done away with. It's either eternal or it's not. That's the only thing you got, is black or white. Either it's eternal or it's not. Either the foolish virgin have eternal life or they don't. They have eternal life, but it's just not a manifestation. Just like you, we should understand this because we know how it happened at our new birth. We always had eternal life. We were always son, but until you were born again, you weren't a manifested son. The foolish virgin have eternal life. They're just as eternal as you are. Don't stick your nose in the air and think you're something special. They're just as eternal as you are, but they just have a different time that they're going to have their eternal life quickened. The 144,000, no, you're not better than them. They're just called to a different part of eternal life. That's it. It's not your eternal life. People, and it drives me crazy because people are always in competition. In heaven, will the bride be, you know, since we're the last day bride, will we be higher in the city? Because we're up. And we're the capstone, so shouldn't we be at the top of the city? Put me in the ghetto. doesn't matter where I'm at in the city, but we're always competing. Shouldn't we be a little higher? Because we had this special thing to do. You didn't do anything more than what they did. They fulfilled the word for their day, and you fulfilled the word for your day. You're not going to be in a different color gown because you're the last bride of the last age, and they're going to be in something else. No, we're all going to look alike. We're going to talk alike. We're going to dress alike. We're going to be alike. We're going to appreciate them. They're going to appreciate us.
Amen.
Right now in our mind, we think, oh, I got to go find Paul. Paul's going to come looking for you.
Amen.
Amen. Paul said, I told you I was coming. But we in our little hierarchical thinking, and we think, oh, well, I know this always gets the sisters when I say it. He's not going to be your husband over there. He said, but he's not. I'm sorry, he's not. He's going to be your brother. We want to make Jesus something. Jesus is going to be our elder brother. All that hierarchy stuff is going to be gone. What are you going to do with a husband over there? We're going to have our mansion together. No, you're not. You're lucky to be on the same street. Our mind, I'm trying to jar our thinking because we're thinking that this is, we're trying to make heaven like this. And I'm glad heaven's not going to be like this. Because then we'd still be fighting over whose mansion's. Your mansion's closer to the throne than mine. That's just nature. It's man's nature. But you got to jar your thinking because all that does is mess your mind up here. It's not going to mess it up. It won't be there. We're going to leave all that here. You know, Sister Sandy told Brother Childers, when I get over there, I'm going to come back and tell you what it's like. He said, she won't do it. He said, you'll never do it. When you get over there, remember when Brother Branham went over there? He went to the other side. He did not want to come back, and he wasn't even finished. Nobody wants to come back here. And in our thinking, we're over here thinking, oh, we got to hold this together. We got it all together. Now, you ain't even begun to live. John loves the atmosphere in his home. He ain't seen the atmosphere yet.
Amen.
The best we can do down here is still a mess.
Amen.
But when we get over there, we're not going to be worrying about all. We don't even understand how much of a load we have on us. The weight of life. You listen to the news, it gets you down. So I hear people say, I don't even watch the news anymore. Why? All it is bad news. It gets you down. You look at the society, it gets you down. You look at everything, work, the liars, the cheaters, they get you down. And then you're trying to carry yourself through this life with your head up. And so this burden of thing called life holds us down. But when we get loose of this thing, oh, it'll be the difference between a caterpillar and a butterfly.
Amen.
Caterpillar can't get no, it's just trying to get across, just trying to get through life. It's just very, it'd take him half a day to get across to eat that leaf.
I know you're right.
But that butterfly, you can't even keep up with him. That's us. We're down here scraping through life, trying to get through. But because you're a son, you're going to be changed from a caterpillar to a butterfly.
Amen.
You won't be walking, we'll be traveling like a thought. But it's because we are sons that we're going to be able to do that. And God is the only one who holds the key to eternal life. It's not you, it's not me, it's God. It's God's own life. Brother Branham said, God is one. God is the only one that has eternal life. And anything that has a beginning has an end. And if you're just a member of church, it has a beginning. But the Word of God has no beginning. God has, and when you're born of God, you're born of the Word. Then you become a son of God, and your name was put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And you, listen to how Brother Branham made this specific, because a lot of times I think we forget that God has your glorified body set up to remember. You know, when I was around 20, 21, it didn't make me no difference. I'm like, I look just like I am now. And that wasn't no big thrill. But thinking back, I'm thinking, man, being 20, 21, you know what? I just try to think of how to word this. We have never looked so good, Jeremiah, as we did when we were 20, 21. Huh, Brother Lockett?
Amen.
We're dealing with scraps heaps now. It's like, this is what's left over. I'm going back. I didn't think it was a big deal back when I first come to the message to be 2021, but now, it's being 62, I'm going back.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to going back to that age because that was the prime of my life.
Amen.
And there's a reason that 2021 is the prime of your life. Because that's where we're going to be. Have you ever seen pictures of, you know, the older people when they're 2021? You're like, man. They don't even look the same. You look at those pictures, you think, man, there were some. Because when you're 2021, those of you around 2021, after about 21, it all starts falling apart. But that's not a bad thing, because now we have something to look forward to. And you were born of God. You're born of the Word, then you become sons of God, and your name were put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Now listen to what he says here, how specific God is. And you, the color of your hair that you have, the color eyes you have, the stature that you're in, God seeing you before the foundation of the world. Now he didn't just put the word out here and say you look like the, no, he knows exactly your eye color, your hair color, every bit of you, every bit of it. What he saw you being, he already got it planned. The statue that you're in, God's seen you before the foundation of the world, and he's seen you a human being like you are. And though there come a million years yet, there'll never can keep you from coming back to that perfect image that God ordained for you in the beginning. My sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. You are going to look like you looked at 2021. Even better, because you won't have scars. And some will say, well, I wasn't in the best shape at 2021. You will be. You'll be perfect. And it's exactly how God sees you. We look at all ourselves now, and we're like, man, you know, all the guys and that I grew up with in this church when we were all about 20, 21. I look at us now, I was like, man, we've changed. But looking from the inside out, you feel like you're the same until you walk past a mirror. But we've all aged. We've all changed. We've gotten older. But that's okay. We're going back, people. Ted, we're going back.
Amen.
We're going to be young again.
Yeah.
And we're going to be that eternal person that God saw in his mind from before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
The only form of eternal life is God's own life. And if you have eternal life today, it's because God's in there. It's God's own life living in you. Eternal life is God's own life.
Right. Amen.
Not your life.
Amen.
John chapter 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You can't lose it because you ain't in control of it. If God gives you to Jesus, then you're just there. You say, well, I'm backslide. You know what? You might backslide in your house. You might backslide in your spirit. But you cannot backslide in your soul. Amen. You're going to come to God. You say, I'm too young. I don't want to come. You don't come. All that the Father has given me, did God give you to him? If you answer that question, yes. Then you will come. And it's not even a question. It's not. I don't have to wonder who's going to win this battle. You say, it's him. He turns the switch, and you just march right to him. Because it's like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know why I'm doing it. You don't. That's that eternal part of you that's stirring. That's the eternal. Remember I said God's the only form of eternal life. That's the eternal God that's moving on the inside.
Yes. Amen.
And that will draw you like a magnet to the Word.
I know that's right.
And you'll receive the Word when you don't want to.
I know.
You'll say amen to the Word when you don't want to.
Amen.
You'll submit to the Word when you don't want to. Because it's no longer I, but it's Christ that's living in me. He loves to talk about himself. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Can you say that today? I come down from heaven. People don't want to make themselves equal with God. I'm sorry, I've got to make myself equal with God. Because there's only one form of eternal life, and if God is living in you, that's God's own life in there.
Amen.
And if that's God's own life, then you had to come down from heaven, because no man can go to heaven except for he to come down from heaven.
Amen.
All these scriptures run together.
Amen.
We just didn't know how to tie it.
Right.
I come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all that he had given me, I shall lose nothing, but shall raise it up again at the last day. Everyone that belongs to him, he will get up.
He will get up. Amen.
The resurrection is going to get every one of them. I don't care, Brother Bramson, I don't care if you're just a spoonful of ash, spoonful of dirt. He's going to get you up. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in that day. They cannot see the Son. You cannot help but to see the Son. But they cannot help but to not see the Son. That's why you can't feel bad about it. When they turn you down, the Bible says don't worry about those evildoers. Don't worry about them. They can't help themselves just like you can't help yourself.
Right.
You can't help but to see this. They can't help but not to see this.
Amen.
And we want to hold it over their head like, you should see this. No, you shouldn't. That's why I don't get mad. When people can't see this, I don't worry about it. I'm like, that's okay.
Right.
The other day, me and Clarice was in the dining room. And I saw a woodpecker. And he hopped from the tree to the fence, and from the fence to another place. And I said, oh, Clarice, look, there's a woodpecker. By the time she got there to the window, it had hopped from the fence to the backside of the tree, and I could see it sticking his head out from the back of the tree. I said, oh, don't worry about it. You'd have missed it. You got to be quick. You got to be. And sometimes when the world is dealing with you, trying to bring people in, because we try to, bring everybody to church, and I do advise you to do it. I don't say don't bring them. But when they come, and you're like, yum, yum, this is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I'm just eating it up. And they're sitting to you going, they're sitting next to you going, I don't know about what y'all doing and what y'all believe. And you almost want to get mad at them. They can't help it. They cannot help it. If God doesn't show it to them, they can't see it. The Brother Branham talked about the two men that went to one of the services, and they come out of the service at the end of service, and one man said, my goodness, that man, he talked about me like a dog. He called me this and called me that, and he called me a buzzard.
Right.
And the other man said, that's funny because he called me an eagle. The same message that you're hearing that you're loving to death, the rest of the world cannot hear it. Because they are not sons. They are not heirs. They're not eternal. And you almost want to get upset with them, but they can't help it. I can't get on you because you can't see through that wall.
Right.
Jumping on down. No man, verse 44, can come to me except my Father, which has sent me, draw him, period.
Right.
You cannot come to God unless God draws you.
Right.
If you're not eternal, God doesn't want you. Do you know God's going to get rid of everything temporary? Why would he pull something temporary knowing he's going to throw it? Why do I want to keep carrying a piece of gum wrapper around?
Right.
I got the gum.
Yeah.
I want to get this thing to a trash can.
Yeah. Right.
Get rid of it as soon as possible.
Right.
God does not want anything to be temporary very long. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen God, seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. He which is of God can see this.
Right.
You're beating yourself up because you don't live like you want to live. Like you want, because God gives us a desire. We want to do the right things. We want to be right. We're not in church to be worse. People come to church to get better. And we kick ourselves sometime because we're not what we think we ought to be. You know, like they used to testify in the apostolic church, I thank God. I'm not what I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be.
Right.
And we're never satisfied with just God being in us. We always want to, you know, that competition thing, even in ourselves.
Right.
I got to do better. I got to do better. Look, if God doesn't do it, it won't get done.
Right. Right.
If God wants you to drop something, you will, believe me, you will drop it.
Right.
If God wants you to pick something up, you will pick it up.
Yeah.
You will. Because he's going to pick it up.
Right.
He's going to drop it. He's changing you. You're not changing yourself. If you can change yourself, you'll change yourself again. Sometimes Clary's changed the clothes, and before I get to the door, she's changed it two more times. If you can do it, then you can do it. But God changes you. When God changes you, you don't go back.
Now,
Brother Branham said, therefore, a person tries to be something that they're not. They're only making an impersonation. And sooner or later, it'll find you out. Your sins find you out. You cannot cover them. There's only one covering for sin, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only covering. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how nice you are. I don't care how much money you get in church. There's only one covering for sin. And that's the blood of Jesus Christ. And it cannot be applied unless God has called you from the foundation of the world. You cannot apply the blood of Jesus Christ to you just because you want to. If he didn't call you, come around all you want. Sit in church all you want. Sing all the hymns that you want to. Clean your life all you want to. If he didn't call you from before the foundation of the world, the blood cannot be applied to you.
Amen.
It's only for his heirs.
Yeah.
Only for his sons and daughters. Only for those who dwell in eternal life.
Right.
That's all it's for. The rest of the world, it's not for them. They can't benefit from that. That's what the blood was shed for. Not to be trampled upon and made fun of and jobbed at and evilly spoke of and so forth. It was for a direct purpose. That's right. Not to be played with, not to be impersonated, but saying that the sins is covered when they're not, And no man can have sins covered lest his name was put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. There you go. There you go. Just coming to church ain't enough. Hanging around saints ain't enough. Saying all the right words ain't enough. You must be born again.
Amen.
And if you are born again, the life of Jesus Christ will live out of you, period. You say, well, I don't see the life. Then get born again. That's how simple that is. You say, well, my life doesn't match the word. Then why not? You see the word. You know what the word requires. You know what it asks for. If the word's in you, it's going to come out. The life that's in you will come out.
Amen.
I mean, it's not that hard, people.
Amen.
If you have a love for the truth, that's because there's a life in there. If you want to come to church, not have to, not because your parents make you, not because your friends make you, not because Brother Morrow think bad of me if I don't show up, but if you come because you want to be here, then that's the life. You want to look for the life? Look for that. Where the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered. Look for that. Say an amen to every word entitles you to the token. Look for that. Dying to your own thinking, being born again, look for that.
Amen.
Those are the things that you'll see manifested out of the life of a believer.
Amen.
All those other things, if they have them, that's fine. If they don't have them, they'll get them on the other side.
Amen.
God is life.
Amen.
Life eternal. God is.
Right.
Remember, I'm talking about eternal life. There's only one form. If you have eternal life, you have God. If eternal life is living in you, God is living in you.
Amen.
It's not the holy mountain. It's the holy God on the mountain. What makes you holy is that God is living in you.
Amen.
What makes you pure is that God is living in you. In the beginning was God. He wasn't God at that time, because God is an English word. God means object of worship. And there wasn't nothing but him. He was the eternal, just the eternal one. There was no room, there's no moon, no stars, no angels, no nothing. But in this being that we call God our Father was attributes. In him was attributes to be Father. In him was attributes to be God. In him was attributes to be Son. In him was attributes to be a Savior. In him was attributes to be a healer. And all these things that we see now is just displaying his attributes. You are displaying his attributes. We can see him being a Father. We can see him being the Holy Ghost. We can see all those attributes. But what about you? We don't count ourselves as an attribute. Remember, there's only one form of eternal life. If you have eternal life in you, then what you are doing is displaying an attribute of that self-same God.
Amen.
No less. But we have a hard time with that. This attribute, what we're doing right now, that doesn't seem like much to you. But it's what he wanted. Now, if you're in this thinking at the beginning, if you got eternal life, there's only one form of eternal life. So if there's only one form of eternal life and you've got eternal life living in you, then that means you have to be an attribute of God.
Amen.
You have to be manifesting God. And what is God wanting to manifest this Sunday morning? You sitting right here saying amen to the
amen.
Word. You say, that's not a lot. That is so much that you don't even realize.
Amen.
There is no greater thing you can do but to say amen to the word.
Amen.
There's no better place to be than be gathered where God's word is. There's no other thing an attribute can do in this hour except for what you are doing right now.
Amen.
Oh, you want to do the attribute of the body change. Oh, you want to do the attribute of getting the dead up. Oh, you want to do all these great big things. But how about the small thing about saying amen to every word? How about you receiving every word? How about you coming to the house of God and being counted as one of the believers in this hour when most people don't want this? An attribute of God. That's who you are. One form of eternal life. And if it's dwelling in you, then you sitting there in your chair doing nothing, as you call it, is the greatest example of God's attribute on display. So I never thought about that. I just thought I'd come to church. It ain't you. It's him. People know you come to this church. People know you believe this. They tune in on the internet from afar. Like those prophets that were standing out watching Elijah and Elisha. See what was going to happen. It sure would be something else right in the middle of a service. We all just... My computer, what happened? This is an attribute of God. You don't realize it, but you are an attribute of the eternal God, the creator of heaven and earth. Amen. He has brought himself down so low that he could sit in your nasty house and represent his will.
Amen.
There's only one form of eternal life. And if he's living in you, then that's God living in you. Now, if you were in his thinking at the beginning, if you got eternal life, there's only one form of eternal life. Eternal life has no beginning and has no ending. So if you have eternal life, you were an attribute of God's thinking before there was anything but him. Right. You, your eye color, your hair color,
right.
All of that that God saw of you was already in him.
Yeah.
Your form. Your shape and what you are now is just a negative.
Right.
Have you ever, back when I was in high school, we took photography class.
Yeah.
And back in those days, in the photography class, I don't know if they do it anymore because everybody's afraid of chemicals and all this stuff down. They cut so much stuff out. You can't even have good education now. But we went in their chemical room and we had the negatives and we would take those negatives and develop them. And then those negatives, if you hold up a negative, some of you young people probably don't even know what a negative is because you ain't never seen one. But a negative, if you look at it, it's like in reverse of colors.
Yeah, right.
If it's white, it's black. If it's black, it's white. The colors are distorted and everything looking at the negative. But when you take that negative and you put it in under that light, and that light shines down on this developing piece of paper. And you take it and you expose it. See, I know how to do it. You expose it for so many seconds.
Yeah.
And once you expose it, you don't even see nothing but the white paper. But then you take that paper and put it in the chemical and shake it around, because we used to have to take them just to make sure it just gets good and wet. And as you're developing it, you see the image start appearing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like that negative. But it's the reverse of that negative. Who knows? I might get over there and be white and Jeremiah will be black. Wouldn't that be a sight? This is a negative, people. What we'll have over there is so much better than what we have over here. Your form, your shape, and what you are now is just a negative. When you come up to around 20, 22 years old, you are a negative, and death develops the picture to the positive. That's when the earthly tabernacle will be dissolved. We have another one waiting, see? This just the display. Now, it shows what's being done. Like God's becoming God when he created angel. He became son when he created Christ Jesus. He became savior when Jesus died. He became a healer when he was wounded for our trespasses. See how the negative and the positive works?
Yeah.
That negative brought about the positive. The wounding was not the positive. The wounding was the negative to show us that he was a healer. By his stripes I'm healed. It looked like a negative, but it was God's positive.
Amen.
He became a savior when Jesus died. Death seemed like it was an awful thing for Jesus to die. But outside of him dying, the positive was that he brought life back to us.
Amen.
He became a healer when he was wounded for our transgression. All these things are attributes of God, just so that at the end, the Bible said, Jesus said, you will know that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you, and you in me. Look at that negative. This is the negative of God on display in human flesh. You say, well, I don't look like nothing. You're the negative. Reverse this in that other house. Put you in your tabernacle not made with hands. Oh, won't it be wonderful? You will know that I am in the Father, Father me, and I in you, and you in me. It's God becoming tangible. God became tangible in this day. You can actually touch God. You can actually talk to God. In this negative, you can actually fellowship, take God out to eat. Take God on a bus ride. And it's still the negative. As much fun as that was, it was still a negative. We are the negative of what's going on in the mind of God over there. Oh, my, we're just getting started, church. Amen. You will know that I'm in the Father, Father in me, and I in you, and you in me. It's God becoming tangible. Your own wife, you and a husband, is just a shadow. Right. As great as it is, it's just a negative shadow of what's going to really be a husband and wife. You think I'm a good husband. You wait till Jesus gets a hold of us in the positive. We won't want for nothing. We won't need a place to stay. Won't have to find food to eat. Won't have to sleep. Won't have to eat. Won't have to do nothing. Oh, we husbands on this side are a poor negative. Well, I married Clarice, she was still working. Poor negative. I didn't take care of all her needs. We went to a raggedy house. You know it was. We fought roaches like we fought fires. This company said, we'll keep coming back until they're all gone. We kept calling them back, and I think we took them out of business because they went under. John, you remember we'd move a pitcher, move something, and just roaches would just fall.
Lord have mercy.
I pray to God that when we get over there.
Amen.
See, he wanted us to experience our measly taking care of our wives as a negative of what he's really going to do for us. And we did the best we could, John. But that's a negative. And we had fun with the negative. But when we get over there, oh my goodness. Your own wife, you and your husband's just a shadow, a negative of God and his wife. You think Doug's something else. And he is. He's just a negative.
Negative.
You'll drop Doug for Jesus. You're like, my Lord. But that's all of our husband. We're all going to be dropping everybody for Jesus. Because he's going to be our elder brother. He's going to be perfect. He's got a place. He said, I go to prepare a place for you.
Amen.
We're not going there to help him. He's doing it for us. When we get to the positive, that eternal life that we have dwelling up, we'll just move on and on. See, eternal life doesn't stop.
Amen.
When I lay this earthly tabernacle down, my eternal life doesn't stop. It just moves on into a new tabernacle.
Amen.
Because I'm a part of God. I come from God. I'm going to God. He's the only form of eternal life. So he's got to put me somewhere.
Yeah.
That's what I love about this thing, how perfect it runs. God is so perfect that he knows that the only thing that is eternal is himself. And for us to be eternal, we had to have eternal life dwelling in us already.
Yeah.
And that's why when this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we don't go to the dead grave. I have another one waiting on me. I cannot end. My life cannot end because it's eternal. It's just as eternal as Jesus' life was. Because it's the same life. Mm. The body will lay down and go back to the dust. But my tabernacle that is waiting on me, I won't. I'll breathe out one breath and breathe in another. That's how quick it'll happen, just that quick. Out of one into another. Change in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. So fast that we won't even miss it. You just open your eyes and like, oh. This is what I was dreading? This is what I was thinking that was going to be so different? Brother Branham, when he went over there, he looked back and he saw his body on the bed, hands still behind his head. And then turned around and saw the rolling hills and he saw the saints coming. And he did not want to return. He didn't miss one breath. Okay. Job, I won't read it because it's already 12 o'clock. My goodness. Job, he asked him, Job, where were you? Where were you, Job, when the sons of God were shouting for joy? It's Job 38. And he was asking these questions because Job was trying to figure him out. I was like, Job, I got this. Where were you when the sons of God? See, the sons of God, we shouted for joy in the mind of God. We've already done this. What you're looking at now, it's already played out in the mind of God. This isn't new to him. It's only new to us. God is a consuming fire. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. For our God is a consuming fire. The only thing, and I love this, and I got to quit, but the only thing, and I'm just going to just summarize this because this is really good. But I was thinking about it last night, and I had the scriptures here, but I'm not going there. God is eternal life. So the only thing that man can do is change. He cannot create. He can only change the elements of what God has created. He can never get rid of anything. God is the only one that can get rid of something. We take a piece of paper, we set it on fire, and we think, I got rid of that. You didn't get rid of it. It just changed its form. We take water, we throw it out in the yard, say, I got rid of that. No, you didn't. Goes down on the ground, gets in the grass, comes up with grass. Man cannot, they can't get rid of anything. As much as he tries, man cannot get rid of anything. That's why, man is so stupid. We're going to take nuclear waste, put it in a metal barrel, and put it in the bottom of the ocean. We got rid of that. You got it worse. Because then that metal's going to get rusty. Then the top's going to come off. And all of that nuclear junk that you, man, has built and made is going to be in the ocean. Then you got these fish coming up with three eyes. Man cannot get rid of anything. We burn stuff. We throw it away. We bury it. We try our best to get rid of stuff. He can't get rid of nothing. Only God can get rid of something, and God has to get rid of it by actually annihilating it. That's why he's a consuming fire, because the only way for God to get rid of something is to burn it completely out of existence. If I were to stab you today and kill you, that would not get rid of you. That'll get rid of your house. Your spirit will break up and go back to God that gave it, but you are going somewhere. And if you're of God, you're going to God. If you're not of God, you're going to hell. Because we can't get rid of even a soul. Man cannot get rid of anything. He can't annihilate anything.
Right.
Only God can do that. Now, I want to read this quote, because I got to wrap this up. I want to bring this, because this is going to show you why it takes God to get rid of a soul or anything.
Right.
Nature has a law. There's a law of nature. There is no way at all to get around it. It's a law of nature. And then there's a law of the spirit. That is also no way to get around it. This is in three kinds of believers. I was speaking to a couple this afternoon about you cannot totally annihilate anything. Human beings can annihilate. They can tear down, but not annihilate. And someone said, well, what about taking and burning a piece of paper? Does that annihilate it? No, sir. It only breaks the chemicals apart, the heat of the fire. It goes back to the gases, what it was in the beginning. You cannot annihilate. And if the world stood long enough, the same gases and chemicals that were in that paper could come right back into a piece of paper again. That's exactly. You can't annihilate. Exactly. You can't annihilate. Exact. God, then, if there is a resurrection to everything back again and no annihilation, there's a resurrection of the just. We've got to come back. That's all there is to it. There is no way at all of doing. No matter if you burn up, if you drown, whatever takes place, you cannot annihilate. We can't get rid of nothing.
Amen.
Just remember, every part of you was here when God spoke the world into existence.
Right.
He put your body here right then. Do you know when he spoke everything into existence in Genesis, when he created the heavens and the earth, he spoke you into the earth?
Right.
You were always here.
Right.
Just in a different form.
Right.
Oh, we're not talking about pre-existence of the soul. I'm talking about the elements, the 16 elements that makes up your house,
right,
was in the earth. You are ashes to ashes, dust to dust, Fairborn dirt, Dayton dirt. Wherever you come from, dirt.
Right.
You're part of the dirt, part of the earth. So even when you die, you still don't annihilate your body. It goes back to the dust where it came from. So you can't even get rid of yourself.
Right.
God, then, if there's a resurrection of everything back again and no annihilation, there's a resurrection. It's just jump down. It says, just remember that every part of you was here. When God spoke the world into existence, he put your body right here, right there.
Amen.
And there is nothing can take it away except God. He's the only annihilator there is. That's why he's a consuming fire, because that consuming fire is God's own fire. It's not just an earthly fire. It's God himself. He's the only one that can consume and annihilate anything.
Right.
And there is nothing can take it away except God. It's all back in his hands again, see? And he's the one, the creator, the one who made the promise. So we're sure that there is eternal life. And we have the assurance that in our hearts now we have eternal life. Eternal life cannot die. In us, not at all. So, Brother Branham, what he's showing us here is that eternal life is the only life there really is. That temporary life is only temporary, and it will be annihilated. When God gets finished with all the temporary lives, he will annihilate them. That's why I'm not going there. There's no eternal hell. Don't have time this morning. There's no eternal hell. There's no eternal death. Death and hell will be cast to the lake. God is the only one that gets rid of. The same way he got rid of your old nature is the same way he's going to get rid of all old natures. They are not eternal. Anything that's not eternal, God will annihilate. He'll get rid of it. You say, well, if it's eternal, what's he going to do with it? He'll clean it off. The earth is going to be cleaned off. He's going to burn this thing off, because the earth is part of his eternal plan too.
Right.
just as much as you are, just as much as Jesus was. The earth is part of the eternal plan. So God's got to clean out. He's not going to annihilate the earth. He's going to burn off Malachi 4. He's going to burn it. First, he's going to burn it to the root. And then he's going to leave root nor branch. He's going to get rid of the whole thing. All of that old, dirty devil, everything he's ever touched, God's going to annihilate. Because it's not eternal. People say you're going to go to hell, you're going to burn for eternity. No, you're not. I'm not going to read it. I want to, but I'm not. Over there, death and hell is not eternal. Revelation chapter 20. They're going to be cast into the lake of fire. Verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. When you get to that second death, there's no coming back from that. See, people die the first death, they're coming back. Everybody's coming back. You know that? Everybody's getting resurrected. But some that will get resurrected will go back into the lake of fire and be totally annihilated. That means they will be gone for good. They're not coming back. They're not eternal. They don't have eternal life dwelling in them. All they have is a temporary life that God's allowing them to use on this side. But when he gets done with them, he'll annihilate them. And death and hell will be gone because he won't need hell anymore. Because he won't have anybody sitting there. And death will be gone because nothing temporal will be here. Amen. Death is the absence of eternal life. And eternal life is the absence of death. Right. So when death and hell is cast into the lake, it's done.
Right. Amen.
He's not going to deal with them anymore. I'm not reading that. I'm trying to see if I'm... I don't want to leave something out. I really wanted to get the understanding of the difference between annihilation of God and something that's temporary that gets transformed into another form. If you just die, you're just dead. But the real you don't die until God annihilates it. That's why some people have to go to hell, because they won't get their annihilation until after the great white throne judgment. But this bride, she has eternal life. He told us over in St. John 5, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You've already passed the death and the life. You've already died once. He said, I didn't die. Yes, you did. That old soul died. God annihilated. He got rid of.
Amen.
You can't go back to it.
Amen.
You no longer have that temporary life dwelling in you at all, period.
Right.
The only one that can get rid of that is God himself, because he's a consuming fire, and the same fire that got rid of your old nature is the same fire that's going to get rid of their old nature. Only difference is yours happened now, and theirs will happen later. But the same one that annihilates you is the same one that annihilate them, because there's only one that can annihilate, that's God. I wanted that to be clear this morning, is that there's only one that can annihilate, and that's God. And when he annihilates, it's like throwing that little blot of ink in that bucket of bleach. It breaks up and you can never find it again.
Amen.
So you're sitting here today with eternal life dwelling in you. You're not going to be changed anymore on the soul. You'll never get another new soul. That soul, when you leave here, if it dies, it's going to go to your new theophany. And then after it gets into your theophany, because it's eternal life and God has to keep it in a body, he's going to bring it back and put it in a glorified body. And then you're still going to be three. You're going to be about 20, 21 years old. You're going to be the best looking person you've ever been. Strongest, smartest, wisest, see better, hear better. And then you're going to have a glorified body, so that's going to be multiplied, because this over here, our 21-year-old here, is a negative of what we're really going to be.
Wow.
Eternal life, people, it's already dwelling in you.
Amen.
You're not trying to get eternal life. It's already in you. All you're going to do now is change houses. You're not gonna be going to try to get something different, something new. All you're gonna do is change houses. Brother Branham said, we're set and we're ready for the journey. And we're back to the Garden of Eden condition in every sense of the word, except for in our houses. That's the only thing. And you know what? That's so automatic. That's not even anything to worry about. Oh, am I going to get? Oh, no. If you've been born again, you are going to get a glorified body. That eternal life that's been in you all along just continues to live. That's what eternal life really is. Not something you're striving for, not something you're trying to get, but because ye are sons. It's just in you to be who you are. Heavenly Father, we're grateful this morning for your word. Thankful for eternal life and how it's living in us even now. We're not striving to get it. We already have it because we've been born again. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. He must be born again. And Lord, as he's been born again, if we're born again, then the life of God, eternal life of God, is dwelling in our mortal bodies. And we can't get any closer to you than be you. And now we're the attribute manifesting in the hour, the last hour, showing the world where Christ really is. And now that we're here and presented this body, a living sacrifice, Lord, let it be acceptable to you. If we've not done so, let us do it today so that you can have full preeminence. So you can use us. Use us in our youth. Use us in our middle ages. Use us in our old age. Father, you don't care about any of those things because you are eternal. And the eternal God that's living in us can manifest in whatever age we're in. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for an understanding of it and how it reigns and lives in our natural bodies. We're not, Lord, afraid to say that we are God, because there's only one form of eternal life, and that's your own life. And if that life is living in us, then it is the life of God. It's just tradition that holds us back. Thank you for what you've done for us, and ask you to continue to be with us. Remember those in prayer, those that need a touch from you, Father. Send forth your word. That's part of your word. Bring us back safely this evening, Father. Thank you for everything. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, musicians. If you've got eternal life, it's already in you. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Free. He gave it to you. You didn't have to go find it. He gave it to you. And you don't have anything to do with it. Just accept it. When they read that will, you don't have to go out and do something to be partaker of the will. You just accept what somebody else has done for you and receive the benefits of that will. Come back tonight at 7 o'clock, Bible study. It's always good to be here. No better place on this side. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Yes, thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Oh, thank you, Lord, for giving. Salvation, so rich and free. Oh, yes, thank you,
for making me whole. And thank you, Lord, for giving to me.